ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 5, as the activities of Maharaja Agnetra. Text 7. Katvam chikirsha shicha kim muni varya sharire
Katvam chikirsha shicha kim muni varya sharire
Katvam chikirsha shicha kim muni varya sharire
Katvam chikirsha shicha
word-to-word translation. Ka,
ka.
Who? Tvam.
Are you?
Chikirshasi.
Chikirshasi.
Are you trying to do?
Cha.
Also.
Kim.
What?
Munivarya.
Oh, best of munis. Shaile.
On this hill.
Maya. Illusory potency. Asi. Are you? Kapi. Sam. Bhagavat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paradevatayah. Of the Transcendental Lord.
Vidye.
Without strings.
Bibharshi, you are carrying. Dhanushi, two bows. Suhrit, of a friend. Atmanah, of yourself. Arthe, for the sake. Kimva, or Mrigan, forest animals. Mrigayese, are you trying to hunt? Vipine, in this forest. Pramattam, who are materially maddened. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The prince mistakenly addressed the Apsara, O best of the saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill? And what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you are carrying these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidra was captivated by the movements of Purva Chitti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaistaistair Hritagnana. When one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidra, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purva Chitti was a male or a female. He mistook her to be a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat Paradevatayaha. Devataha, the demigods, all belong to this material world. Whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Paradevata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Paradevata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhekshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purva Chitti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidra compared them to bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by bows with strings but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed, bhutva bhutva praliyate. By the dint of his tapasya, Agnidra couldn't understand how Maya acts, could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word pramattan is also significant. Pramatta refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are pramatta or vimudha. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, So chetato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Bhagavatam 7.9.43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastra by such terms as Pramatta, Vimukha, Vimudha. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is apramatta, a sane, sober person, a dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are pramatta with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidra questioned Purvachitti about this. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yontah pravishya mamavacham imam prasuktam Sanjeeva yatyakhila shakti dharasvadhamna Anyamscha hasta charana shravanatva gadin Pranam namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam So Hare Krishna, welcome all of you for today's discussion on Srimad Bhagavatam. We've been discussing the pastimes or the activities of the king Agnidra, who's been the ruler of Jambudvipa, the son of Priyavrata. Now we have seen devotees speak over the last few weeks of how Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about the 10 topics of Atra Sarga Visargascha. There are 10 topics. Atra Sarga Visargascha, Sthanam Poshanam Utayaha, Manvantareshanu Katha, Nirodha Mukti Rashrayah. So with these 10 topics that Srimad Bhagavatam explains, in this canto, there are 26 chapters. So the first 15 chapters is talking about Priyavrata Maharaj's lineage, because we were discussing about Uttanapada's lineage, and then we have come to Priyavrata Maharaj's lineage, and we know how Priyavrata Maharaj was induced by Lord Brahma to take up material duties, and then after he finished his material duties, he has gone back to self-realization path of bhakti again, and now his son Agnidra is ruling a dvipa called Jambudvipa. So the first 15 chapters explains about the lineage, and in the next 11 chapters of this canto, they talk about the planetary systems. So we'll talk about Vedic, Bhagavatam explains about the Vedic cosmology. So therefore, In the first chapter, of this canto, we studied Priyavrata Maharaj's activities, and now in this chapter, we're going to discuss about his son. On the 6th of September, I mistook this canto to be Utayaha, talking about Utayaha or creative impetus, because the canto is titled as creative impetus. But interestingly, when Prabhupada labeled these cantos in his diary in the Jaladuta, he labeled this canto as the planetary systems, because it's also talking about the planetary systems in the later half of this canto. Therefore, in that sense, this canto covers sthanam, because it is talking about visarga partly in the first 15 chapters, and the later 11 chapters talk about the planetary systems. Therefore, Prabhupada called it as the planetary systems, or the topic of sthanam is dealt in this canto. So my apologies that I was wrong before, that I mistook it to be talking about the creative impetus, which is Utayaha, which will come later in the sections of Bhagavatam. Now, in this verse, we see how Agnidra was so bewildered by Purvachiti's appearance. Now, we know that Agnidra was here for two purposes. What were they? He had two desires, to beget a son and to go to Pitraloka. So he had two desires, and obviously both were material desires. So with this desire, he had come to the Mandara hill and he started meditating. And it is by knowing his desire, Brahma actually sends an apsara to fulfill his desire. Now Prabhupada writes in the purport, the first paragraph, that Kamaistaistair Hritagnana. Now, if we understand, why does Prabhupada say this? Because that verse talks about Prapadyante Anya Devataha. If you see, Krishna says this in the verse, that people approach Anya Devataha, the demigods or the devatas, with a material desire. And when people approach demigods or devatas with material desires, what happens? Hritagnana. Their jnana will be what? Hrita. Hrita means will be deprived. Now what jnana is this? What jnana is deprived for the jivas or the living entities? It is their own jnana. It is their own constitution of Satchit Ananda. It is their knowledge. They are knowledgeable. They are full of knowledge. But that knowledge they get deprived of when they seek material benediction from devatas. So therefore, such people who approach the devatas with material benedictions in their mind, their jnana gets deprived. The jnana is inherent in the jiva, but that gets deprived. Hrita jnana. Kama is because of the kama, because of the material desires. And therefore, Agnidra is now a little bewildered. Why? Because he had this material desire. And whom is he approaching? Which devata? Lord Brahma. So, and that is the reason. It's not that the devatas actually steal the knowledge. It is because we approach them with a material desire. And therefore, the original jnana that we have, what is the original jnana that we have? That we are a spirit soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. Mama evamsho jiva loke. So this knowledge is very important to get liberation. But when we approach with a material desire, to fulfill this material desire, that original knowledge has to be shrouded. So therefore, the devatas say, okay, you want a material desire, therefore I'll keep your original knowledge aside and I'll grant you the benediction. And therefore, even today, sometimes we see when people ask for a good wife or a good son, they pray to Lord Brahma. I was hearing a lecture where some devotees said, even on the invitation cards of marriage ceremonies, there is Lord Brahma as a picture, just to attain benediction of a good family. So therefore, this is the jnana that gets stolen by the devatas. It is not that, that the devatas steal our knowledge. It is because they are also devotees of the Lord. So the teaching here is, we shouldn't approach the devatas with ulterior motives or material benedictions. We have to approach, if we approach the devatas, if we do so, we have to approach them with the only desire that they can grant us, bhakti to Krishna. And then the jnana will not be stolen or deprived of. What's interesting is, now Agnidra is going through a bit of emotions in the first few lines. He's first mistook her to be Munivarya. Purvachitti was a beautiful apsara, the best of the apsaras that Lord Brahma had. And Agnidra is mistaking her to be a Munivarya. Munivarya means what? He is mistaking her to be a he in the first place. Now Prabhupada writes, there are two reasons. Prabhupada writes, because of his material intelligence, he couldn't distinguish between a male and a female. The first thing. And the second thing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, because he was doing penance for such a long time, when he saw her, he thought, oh, probably there is another sage with long hair who has come here to do penance with me. So he's asking, what is the reason why you have come here? Probably you have come here to do tapasya along with me on this hill. So he's mistaking her to be a muni, or a son of a muni, obviously, because he or she was looking young. So therefore, he initially mistakes her to be, gender confusion. And then after that, he moves on to another perspective where he gets bewildered to think, are you that Maya Devi? It's very interesting because Vyasadeva writes here, Mayasi Kapi Bhagavat Paradevatayaha. Now what's very apparent of this line is, it seems that Agnidra is aware of a supreme transcendental lord. That is why he is mentioning Bhagavat Paradevataya. Para means, that's what Prabhupada writes. Iha means this world. We have demigods and devatas in this world, and para means who is beyond this world. So therefore, Krishna here, Vedavyasa is addressing that. He realized that it might be the Maya Devi of whom? Of that Bhagavan who is the transcendental lord, Paradevataya. So therefore he is also now going to the bewilderment that saying, maybe Purvachiti is that Maya Devi who has come to bewilder me. Just like Mohini Murthy comes, although he is Krishna, but he comes in the form of Mohini Murthy to bewilder the asuras. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that although he had the knowledge, and the intelligence to distinguish that maybe it is Maya Devi, and he also had the knowledge that Maya Devi is under the control of Bhagavat, because he's saying Bhagavat para devataya. So he has the knowledge also. He has the intelligence to distinguish that supreme Lord, Daiviyeshi Gunamavi Mama Maya Duratyaya. So Maya Meta. So Mamevaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So therefore, we have to understand. So we have to understand that he had the knowledge, he had the intelligence, and therefore he is addressing Maya Devi as directed by Bhagavat Paradevataya. It's very interesting when he is quoting, when Vedavyasa is writing these. Well, we don't know whether Agnidra thought like that or Vedavyasa is trying to teach us a lesson through the episode of Agnidra, but we have to take what Vedavyasa Muni has given us. And then on, after that, Prabhupada explains that now Agnidra is now trying to perceive Purvachitti's beauty. Where does he start with? He starts with the eyebrows. He starts looking at the eyebrows of Purvachitti, and he is now contemplating. Now if you can see, Krishna had said this, Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodo vijayate. So dhyayate vishayan. So what is Agnidra doing? Despite doing penances, despite having the knowledge that it could be Maya Devi, which it was in one sense. Now where does the fall down start happening? Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. He is meditating on the beauty of Purvachiti, the Apsara Purvachiti. Oh, what beautiful eyebrows you have. That's where it starts. The moment he sees the eyebrows, Dhyayato, his consciousness and the mind, his intellect is tuned to the beauty of, the external beauty of that Apsara. And then, as soon as he surrenders to the external beauty, Maya Devi Jhapatiya Dhari. Maya Jhapatiya Dhari. And he is now under the strong grip of Maya Devi. And Prabhupada writes in many places that this is the central theme of Maya Devi's plot. Stri Maituni Bhava Metam. So because of this Stri Maituni Bhava, and he is now also still addressing that, are these eyebrows meant for you or for the animals in the forest? So he is saying that Pashubhi Naranam, if we do not come to the stage of Dharma, we are all animals. So I am also ready to become an animal. And are you trying to hunt me now? And I'm also ready for this. So you can see that that gradually he's falling down from the level of his penance. Although being he's doing tapasya, actually he's doing yoga. He was in a yogic trance before Apsara hit him, but he did it with a material desire, therefore it was granted. So we can see how the animals in the forest, even so-called lion and tiger, Prabhupada writes, there are wild animals, and the lion and the tiger are really strong animals. Even those animals are henpecked by their lioness and tigress. Is it not? So this central point of Maya Devi, of Sri Maithuni Bhava, this sexual attraction between the opposite sex, is the basis of this material world. Actually, it was done for a purpose, because Brahmaji, when he started creation, he wanted to progenate, because he wanted to give the jivas or living entities an opportunity to come to the human form of life and therefore realize their purpose of living or existence. But the idea is, you come into this existence to get out of this existence, but not get enveloped in its happening. So therefore, Maya Devi always does this. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that men in this world fall prey to this weapon of Maya and get killed in the process. What killing Prabhupada is talking about? It is not killing of the life, it's basically falling down into the clutches of Maya, which is repeated birth and death. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Coming back to the repeated cycle of birth and death. We can see Agnidra was intelligent, but still became a prey to the action of Maya Devi. Now one may think, Prabhuji, Bhagavatam is talking about dharma swanushthitam pumsam. And the Bhagavatam is talking about dharma projita kaitavatra paramo. Probably Bhagavatam should talk about, it should actually reject all kaitava dharma and talk about the supreme dharma. Why is Bhagavatam so graphically describing all these episodes? One may have this question. And Vedavyasa goes in detail to explain the beauty of the Apsara. So why is that? We have to understand, Bhagavatam sometimes can be bewildering for many. And you also know that Bhagavatam is Akhila Shruti Saram. Therefore, Bhagavatam is preparing us to reach to the ultimate goal of Bhagavatam. What is the ultimate goal of Bhagavatam? What is the ashray, the ultimate shelter? Krishna, which is actually revealed in the 10th canto. So therefore, all these descriptions is a test for the pursuer that, are you ready to go beyond these material attractions? Imagine, if someone reads this one verse or this one chapter of Agnidra, he will get bewildered. Wow, Bhagavatam is a very interesting literature for a Karni in that sense. Is it not? If not Prabhupada's purports, someone can get bewildered just by reading the translation. Therefore, the purports and commentaries are so critical, so important to understand the intention of the speaker and the intention of the verses, not just the verses. So that's very important. Therefore, we are saved by Prabhupada's purports. we shouldn't say Agnidra was a fallen jiva, etc. But he is there for a purpose. Whether he's falling prey to something called lust, we do not know. Now thinking about Kama is taistar hita jnana. Kama, what is Kama? We have to understand. Is Kama just the attraction between opposite sexes, or is it something beyond that? And we have seen devotees explain that Kama means lusty desires. Lusty desires. Lusty desires means what? What do you mean by lusty desires? Now there is an episode in the Mahabharata where Krishna is discussing with the Pandavas. Now Krishna asks, my dear Pandavas, there are four Purusharthas. Purusharthas means the human ends. There are four human ends mentioned in the scriptures. What are they? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So Kama is one of the human end, actually. The Shastras mention Kama as a human end. So in that sense, is Kama bad? So which one of these is the highest? Can you please explain to me, the great Pandavas? So Krishna poses this question. And immediately, you know, Arjuna comes forward. Arjuna says, the highest human end is Artha. He says, and then Krishna says, Artha? Why do you think Artha? Artha means economy. And of course, we know Arjuna was the best economist of those times, actually. He was maintaining all the treasury department was under Arjuna, under the part for the Pandavas. So therefore he says artha. He says, if we want to attain moksha, we have to be in a comfortable situation. Otherwise we can't. We'll be thinking of roti, kapda, makan. You know, roti means food, kapda means clothing and shelter. If those three facilities are not fulfilled, then I can't do bhakti. So first these three have to be fulfilled. Therefore artha is important. Yudhishthira says, don't speak like a fool, Arjuna. The highest end is actually dharma. Without dharma, you can't do artha. You need dharma. That artha which is earned on the principles of dharma, that is very important. Therefore, dharma is the highest. And then Bhima comes in between. Bhima says, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira, my dear elder brother and younger brother, I think you both are wrong. The highest human end is kama. Now everybody gets bewildered. Bhima, are you out of your senses? You are saying this in front of Krishna. You are saying kama is the highest. Are you mad? And Bhima says, hey, Arjuna, wait. You said you want to earn money so that you can successfully do bhakti. And you said you want to do dharma so that you can follow bhakti or get moksha. Both of you have a desire. So this desire is kama. So kama means desire. So Bhima tries to justify that kama is the highest end. So if you take from a generic perspective, kama means desire. But what happens today, because scriptures are saying kama is also one of the human end, but it should not be just merely the human end. Therefore Krishna says that kama or desire, that which is done in accordance of dharma or scriptural injunction, that kama is sanctioned. Because Krishna says, I am that kama which is done on the principles of scriptures. Krishna is saying, I am that kama, I am that desire. That desire that you do according to the scriptural injunction, that is not different from me. So that is why we see in today's world, many times in the modern scenario, people cannot differentiate between crime and sin. That is the reason. Because of their selfish desires, they cannot distinguish between, what is the difference between a crime and a sin? So we have scriptures defining something called as a sin. One should not do these. And then the modern terminology, we say it's crime. Ideally for Shastra, they two are not different. They have to be the same. Why? Because if someone has a lusty desire or has a desire which is apart from the scriptures, the scriptures are saying, hey, you are allowed to have these desires. If you desire something apart from these scriptures, then that becomes sinful. That is called as a sinful desire. So desires are not wrong, because as living entities, we are meant to desire. We can't be desireless. But the desires that we have, the Shastras put a framework to say, you can desire, but there is a framework within which you can desire. That's it. That's why in modern terms, people do not distinguish between these two. For example, in the US, there is a push for abortions. Abortions is legal. It's not criminal. But the Shastras say it is sinful to abort. In fact, there are political parties which are pushing for late abortions, even so much in the 7th month. If you are all interested, you can watch videos called as silent screams. There is a video done by a doctor, a gynecologist, who is actually, there is a detailed video on silent screams as to how the child cries and tries to hide from the aborted device. It's very, very painful and cruel. Still, the modern medical industry or the modern population thinks abortion it's not a crime. Whereas Shastras say it is very sinful. Therefore, Krishna says, Aghayur Indriya Ramu Moham Partha Sarvashaha. Because Indriya Rama, because I want to gratify my senses, Indriya Arama, I want to gratify my senses, which is beyond the scriptural framework, what will happen? I fall into illusion and start committing sins. So therefore, kama means those desires which has to be followed in the injunctions of the scriptures. Therefore, we should not forget our duties and not neglect the scriptures, but desire within the framework of the scriptures. So that is the understanding we should have. Although having said that, the sexual attraction which Mr. Agnidha is falling down to the Apsara is actually the grossest representation of this kama. And the sexual attraction between man and woman, that is the grossest attraction. Therefore, Agnidra is falling prey to the bows of, that's why Vedavyasa is saying that he saw the eyebrows as a bow. So when you see a bow, what does it remind of? It reminds of the Cupid's bow. Therefore, he's falling prey to the arrows of the Cupid, Kamadeva or Madana. Therefore, but what's interesting is, why did he fall down? Two things. Because he's thinking that apsara is for my pleasure. Therefore, he's thinking, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And then he was also thinking, the second thing he's thinking that is, he's thinking, it is pleasurable actually. It's very nice. The attraction between opposite sexes is very nice and pleasurable. So, therefore, why is it pleasurable? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:38 that Vishayendriya Samyoga Yatta Dagre Amrutoponam Pariname Vishamiva Tatsukham Rajasam Sitam. This pleasure that is born out of mode of passion is very pleasurable in the beginning. It seems to be very pleasurable, but in the end, it is Pariname. In the end, the result of that is Vishamiva. It is poisonous in the end. But because we think it is pleasurable in the beginning, Agnidra falls prey to that pleasure. Therefore, we have to understand how this karma works. What is the physiology or what is the mechanics of how this karma works? In fact, if we see the chapter 3, Krishna actually, as I said many times, that Krishna actually explains how deep psychology of this teachings are and it's, and the teachings and the science of Bhagavad Gita is, he outlays the entire way of how this karma acts. Why? Because Arjuna asks this. Arjuna asks in 3rd chapter 36 verse, Atah kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichchan baladivaniyojita anichchanapi varshneya baladivaniyojita. He's saying, Atah kena prayuktoyam. Arjuna is asking, my dear Krishna, what impels one to do these activities? That unwantedly, even though the jiva doesn't want to do it, anichchanapi varshneya baladivaniyojita. What is that force that one drives to do these sinful activities? One falls into the material bondage. And that is when Krishna tells the famous words, what is that? Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha mahashano mahapapmaha, Krishna says. So this is the root cause and the biggest enemy of a jiva is kama and krodha. So therefore we have to understand that where is this kama? Where is the kama? Is kama the attraction between the opposite sex? Or is kama in a woman, the sense object? Or is kama in the man? Where is this kama? Where is it coming from? What is that enemy that Krishna is speaking about? Where is it? Is it within me? Or where is it? So Krishna explains that it is actually not the sense object that is lusty. It is the perception of the jiva between the sense object. That is why Krishna said, Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Now, matra means sense perception. That is called matra. For example, if a beautiful apsara is there, imagine, Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj were standing there when they were 8-5 years old. Do we imagine that they would also have seen the beautiful eyebrows of apsara and got bewildered? Obviously not. Why? Because they were not pursuing that, her language. So therefore, the sense object, which in this case was apsara, was there and Agnidra was there. It is not the apsara the reason of this kama. It is the perception of Agnidra that he is thinking that sense object is for my pleasure. It is the perception, it is the tanmatra, it is the matras by which the kama enters. So it is not the sense object, it is not the external stimuli that induces kama in me. It is my perception of that sense object that creates kama inside me. So that we have to understand very clearly. So therefore, it is not the objects. Therefore, why does Krishna say, how does Krishna say, how do you get out of this? Evam buddhe param buddhva samsthabhyatmanatmana. Krishna says, establish your buddhi, your intelligence so strong, and therefore jahishatrum mahabaho. Therefore, you can destroy this kama. How? By establishing yourself in intelligence. So this is the beauty Krishna is talking about. Establishing your intelligence. Therefore, you will not fall prey to the hritagnyana. So, you know, you see, hritagnyana, Prabhupada starts with that to saying your intelligence will get bewildered. But Krishna is saying, if you don't want to get bewildered, establish it properly. And therefore, Prabhupada in the last section of the purport says that how Prahlad Maharaj says that people are engrossed in sense gratification, especially the materialists. In the Canto 2, the beginning of the Canto 2, when Parikshit Maharaj asks the question, what is the prime duty of a person who is about to die? After glorifying the question, Varyane Sre Prashnaha, he says, Varyane, very good Prashna, very good. And then in the next few verses, Sukadeva Goswami says, Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Yavayena Chavavayaha Divacharte Haya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. And then he says, Dehapatya Kalatradishva Atma Saineshva Satsvapi Tesham Pramatto Nidanam Pashyannapina Pashyati. So Deha. So what happens? The moment I get engulfed by Kama, I start identifying. So there were two defects. What is that? I think I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And the second thing is, I think that object is for my pleasure, forgetting that Krishna is the bhokta. So if I do that, what happens? I fall prey, deha. Then what happens when I become, I understand, I identify with my body, deha patya kalatra adishu. Kalatra means wife. Then I start identifying me, my wife, my family, my country, my religion. These notions start expanding, the isms that Prabhupada talk about. And therefore, even though I am exposed to the truth every day, the same people, Pashyan apina pashyati. They see it, but they don't see it. Every day people die. They are Atma Sainyeshwar. These are all my Atma Sainya. My children, my wife, my great-grandchildren, grandchildren, etc. They are all my Atma Sainya. Those who have expanded from me, but they are all going to be erased one day. But I depend on them rather than depending on the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should inquire into the problems of life to say, who am I? Why am I attached to these Atma, to these expansions of myself? So therefore, Prabhupada explains, Prahlad quotes Prahlad Maharaj here to say how Prahlad Maharaj is waiting to deliver. He is devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. And this is that mood of a devotee. A devotee always sees, how do I deliver these people? Now, we've seen how Agnidra is falling prey to the clutches of Kama. Bhagavatam also gives medicine to this kama. How, if you see the third canto in the 12th chapter, it is also mentioned that it is mentioned about brahmacharya. Now brahmacharya, Bhagavatam actually talks about four types of brahmacharya. There are four types of brahmacharis, four types of grihasthas, four types of sannyasis. So in the verse, Bhagavatam talks about four types of brahmacharis. Why is Bhagavatam talking this? Because if one has practiced brahmacharya from a very early age, then he can be sthitadhihi. His knowledge or his jnana, he can be established in knowledge or intelligence. He can withstand the onslaught of Maya and not get bewildered when the Maya has her grip on her. So therefore, the four types of brahmacharis or brahmacharya that Bhagavatam elucidates is Savitram. The first type is called Savitram. Savitram means what? That brahmachari who practices between the year 8 until he starts his Veda Pati. So usually in the Vedic tradition, when he is 8, he is given something called as Upanayana. Upanayana means he is given his sacred thread and he is preached what mantra? The Gayatri Mantra. So the Gayatri Mantra is preached to a boy. And between the year 8 and the next few years until he starts Veda Pati, when he starts studying Vedas, and he will not start studying Vedas immediately at the age of 8. So it will be a few years by the time he comes to the age of certain age when he can study the Vedas. So this stage is called as Savitri, where the Gayatri Mantra has been given and his sole meditation on the Supreme Lord is through this Gayatri Mantra. And he follows the tenets of brahmacharya. Thereby, if someone does that, he actually becomes very empowered. And what is the power one gets by practicing Gayatri Mantra in that stage? He gets the power to curse someone. That's all. That's all he gets. And that is the reason Sringi could curse Parikshit Maharaj. Sringi was Savitra Brahmachari. He was a Savitra Brahmachari who was initiated. Upanayana was done. Upakarma had not been done. Upanayana means where you give the Gayatri Mantra and he's practiced it. He has been chanting. Therefore, he attained the power to curse someone. And therefore, he lost the power also by cursing. Parikshit Maharaj was a devotee of the Lord. So, that's one type of Brahmacharya. Prajapatyam. Prajapatyam Brahmachari means, there is one more. Savitram, the second stage is Brahma. Brahma Brahmacharya. Brahma means you are doing the Veda part or Vedic studies for the next 12 years. You do study of the Vedas and thereby you remain celibate for the next 12 years so that you can study the Vedas properly. This is called Prajapatya Brahmacharya. Now why does the scripture say if someone can strictly maintain the vow of celibacy for these 12 years, then he will be eligible to attain his next stage of life. Then the third type of Brahmacharya Bhagavatam speaks about is Prajapatya. Prajapatya means who enters the grihastha ashrama but maintains the vow of a brahmachari that I will progenate with my wife only on certain days with the permission of my spiritual master so that I can bring a Krishna conscious child to this creation. Only then he indulges with the opposite sex, which is his own wife. Otherwise, he doesn't indulge in the sexual activities with his wife. This is called Prajapatya Brahmacharya. And the last one is called as Brihat Brahmacharya. Brihat Brahmacharya means starting from the age of 8 until he breathes his last, he remains Brahmachari without an interaction with the opposite sex. This is also called as Naishtika Brahmacharya. We have in our own ISKCON movement many Naishtika Brahmachari. We have a lot of Matajis, a lot of Swamijis and Maharajas who are Naishtika Brahmacharis actually. And Krishna in the later canto say, if someone worships me with Naishtika Brahmacharya, his ticket for Goloka is booked. Why? Because he has come out of the bodily conception of life and he has dedicated his life for the supreme attractive being, which is Krishna. So therefore, why Bhagavatam also gives a medicine is, if someone practices these Brahmacharya from a very early age, they can stand strong when their senses fully develop. Therefore, they do not fall under the clutches of Maya. When I was studying or preparing this lecture, what struck me was, it looks like the scene always repeats. Is it not? Starting from Vishwamitra, the scene is the same. The sage is meditating and a beautiful girl comes and disturbs the meditation. Same scene. There is no change in the scene. But we see time and again the munis fall prey to it. Is it not? So there is a lesson how we see the plot of the devatas are the same. Whenever you meditate, I will send something that will disturb you. Therefore, they did not send a beautiful woman to disturb Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Muni. They did not send beautiful women. They sent ghosts and goblins. Because kids are afraid of ghosts. Therefore, ghosts, Rakshasas were sent to disturb him. So therefore, he saw ghosts, etc. when he was meditating. So therefore, bhayam, any fear also is because of a desire of my bodily attraction. So Prahlad Maharaj was not even afraid to be pushed from a hill. He was not afraid when he was given poison. So he was abhayam. He was abhayam because he was always meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, the plot seems to be the same. Therefore, the devotees are very intelligent. If you see, the same plot was used for Vishwamitra Muni. First time he failed. He failed for Kama. The second time, he got angry. Right? He failed for Kama the first time. The second time, he failed for Krodha. So that's what Krishna is saying. One might become very good brahmachari in his life, but if he gets proud of his brahmacharya, what comes into it? After that, krodha comes. So we have to have this equipoise nature that despite my brahmacharya, I should not be a victim of anger. So that also is very important. Therefore, Vishwamitra is an example of how it's not Vishwamitra's example is us for us to teach a lesson. He's a very exalted personality, so we shouldn't criticize him in that sense. But there is a lesson for us to say, even though if someone can overtake Kama, it is very difficult to overtake Krodha. So you have to be very careful when you are in the path of spiritual realization. That is why in the scriptures it is said kshurasya dharah. Kshurasya dharah means spiritual path, means it's work, walking on a razor sharp edge. It's like that. A little bit of deviation can cut us. So therefore it's like walking on a razor sharp. So we have to be very careful. And how did the devotees save themselves? If you see, Arjuna also was exposed to the same problem. When he went to meet his father Indra, Urvashi came to attract him. Then what did Arjuna do? Arjuna said, Hare Krishna Mataji, he said. Urvashi got angry. What? You are calling me Mataji? How dare you? She got angry. Now Arjuna is saying, you are an affiliate of my father, so obviously you become my mother. So that's why I am saying Hare Krishna Mataji. So she got angry. Why? Because she was lusty about Arjuna. So lust, kama can work both ways. It's not just that male getting attracted to female, it can be female getting attracted to male, or it can be not only the sensual desire, sexual desire, but something else as well. We see time and again, for example, it also happens in the so-called practice of devotion. Kama can creep in there as well. For example, some devotees say, even though it is the patni dharma to serve prasadam to his children, to the children and husband, I am studying Bhagavatam, I can't get disturbed. I am a great bhakta of the Lord, bhaktin of the Lord. Don't ask me to cook, I am studying Bhagavatam. This is also kama, because I am not enacting my dharma properly and I am using bhakti to escape from my duties. So that is why acharyas have said, kuru bhungshvacha karma nijam niyatam, do your karma properly. How? Haripada vinamra dhiya satatam, keeping your dhiya on the haripada, execute your dharma. And that was the lesson Brahmaji was giving to Priyavrata Muni. Come and do your dharma. Your dharma you have to do, your karma you have to enact. And that's the whole purport of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna wanted to run away from his responsibilities. You know, execute your responsibilities first, and then don't take bhakti as an alibi to run away from your responsibilities. You have to understand. That also can be kama. I'm escaping from my responsibilities and I'm using bhakti to escape it. Bhakti should not be escapism. Why I am putting this? Because we have glorious grihastha spiritual masters who stand an epitome of an example of following dharma and following bhakti. We have examples like Gurujan Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji. We have experience of how devotees say how there is this anyunata, the feeling of serving each other. They do not serve, the husband does not serve the wife because you are my wife. The wife does not serve the husband thinking you are my husband, but they think you are the resting place of the Supreme Lord. Thereby I serve you as a jiva. And similarly the other reciprocation happens. We have seen this. Practically I have seen this over the past 8 years. So there is no attraction because it's a male or a female. There is attraction because they see the Supreme Lord resting in their hearts. And that is what our acharyas say in the bhajans. Tumhare hridaye sada Govinda vishram, Govinda ko hena tuma bina ke hona. So, devotees see everybody is as Vaishnava. They see the Lord, the Govinda Vishram, Tumare Hridaya Sada Govinda Vishram. So therefore, you are a resting place of Sri Hari, so you are glorious. This happened to Sant Tukaram as well. Sant Tukaram also was sent a beautiful prostitute. What did Tukaram say? You seem to be an abode of Lakshmi Devi, my dear mother, and he paid obeisances to her. You are looking like Lakshmi Devi. You are so sattvika saundari. You are so beautiful. You must be Lakshmi Devi, my dear mother. You are the goddess of fortune. You have come to bless me. So please bless me. He washed the feet. So therefore, why? They are seeing that every object is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. I am not the doer, neither I am the enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasna. This is how the devotees escape themselves from the clutches of mind. Therefore, we see time and again the Shastras say, how people fall prey to Kama. The typical example was Ramayana. If you see Ravana, Ravana was the personification of Kama, lusty desires. He thought, I am the center of all that be and I want to enjoy everything. So much so, he kidnapped Mother Sita herself, who is goddess of fortune, who is meant to be the property of the Supreme Lord, who is meant to be enjoyed only by the Supreme Lord, and our job as Jivas is to facilitate their enjoyment, just like Sugriva did, just like Lord Hanuman did. To facilitate, just like Vrindadevi does, to facilitate the supreme pastimes between Radha and Vallabha. So that is the constitutional position of a Jiva. But Ravana forgot that. Therefore, in the war, when Rama was facing Ravana, Rama scolds very strongly to Ravana, saying, you are such putrid substance. Rama says like that to Ravana. And then when Rama starts shooting arrows and removing one head off, that's why the 10 heads of Ravana resembles the 10 different dimensions of lusty desires a Jiva can have. It's not just 10 desires, it's 10 dimensional desires. So therefore, when Rama was removing each head, as soon as he removed one head, another head would pop up. Another head would pop up. Another head would pop up. So this is an indication to us that our lust, we are having a reservoir of lusty desires within us. And therefore, Rama then shoots an arrow to the heart. And when he shoots an arrow to the heart, Ravana is killed. Therefore, the lusty desire, Jahi Shatrum Mahabaho, Evam Buddhe Param Buddhva, Krishna says, we have to destroy this Kama at the root of it. Root. Where is the root? Two places, the senses and the intelligence. These two places are the sitting places of the Kama. It has to be destroyed. Therefore, what do devotees do now? We don't have Rama's arrows where Rama can hit an arrow to me. In fact, Rama has to have having a personal presence and he can kill Ravana. It's one on one. But now we are not fortunate enough so that Rama can come and shoot an arrow to my heart so that my Kama can be destroyed. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya came and gave us another arrow. The arrow of Harinam. The arrow of Harinam. Now Harinam, the transcendental sound vibration is so powerful that if one chants with such rapt attention that desire, I've heard Acharya speak, that when the lusty desires hit the mind, the dhiya or the cheta of a living entity or the intellect of a living entity, if he very intensely shouts to Krishna, Hey Krishna, Hey Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namaste. So when we make a call to that Mohana, then he steals, he is called Madana Mohana. He steals that Madana, the Cupid who is trying to steal me and put me into Maya. And we also should meditate on the Madana Mohana Mohini, who is Radharani, who even steals Madana Mohan. So therefore, Prabhupada has established this worship of Radha and Krishna so that we can save ourselves from Hritagnyana. So just to summarize, so to save ourselves from Hritagnyana, to getting our intelligence being deprived of and establish ourselves as Sthitagnyana, not Hrita, but Sthita. Sthita Jnana means to establish our original position, which is established intelligence. We have to call on to Krishna and His holy names. Thereby, by this very simple process, we can become established in intelligence. Therefore, we can escape the clutches of Maya. And that is what Prabhupada finally says, that we have to become apramatta. Apramatta. Then we have to become intelligent. Otherwise, we remain on the platform of Pramatta, Vimudha or Vimukha. So therefore, whatever I spoke, it's theoretical. I am far beyond this realization. It's very difficult to realize, and Kama is the ultimate devouring sinful enemy of a Jiva or a living entity. Therefore, Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's framework has given us those teachings, has given us, and the Acharyas have taught us. And we see how externally this Kama can be controlled by engaging our senses in the activities of devotional service, and the mind and the intellect can be engaged in study of scriptures and the chanting. Thereby, from both sides we are trying to attack Kama. But senses are controlled, the mind and the intellect is controlled. Therefore, if we remain busy 24 hours, there is no gap for Kama or Maya to enter. So Maya Devi enters us through the wheel of Kama. So therefore, I am speaking out of my theoretical knowledge. I am yet to reach that realization. But I thank all of the devotees for giving me this opportunity to share my realization that Prabhupada has taught us. So with this, I stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss for a while. Very nice question, Mataji. Actually, I forgot to mention about Haridas Thakur, in fact, if you see. Haridas Thakur also, recently, 500 years ago, he was also exposed to the same plot. He was meditating and the prostitute came and Maya Devi herself came to bewilder him. What I have understood is, as long as Govinda is not Vishram in my mind, if my mind is not a resting place for the Supreme Lord, it can't be empty. So Maya enters there. In this case, Agnidha was thinking that Aham Karta, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Therefore, this Apsara is for my enjoyment because I am seeking something material. So he had an ulterior desire or a material desire. He did not have the desire to please Krishna. Therefore, he had to fall down because in one sense he fell down, but Krishna facilitated his desire. Which is a fall down for us, we can know it is a fall down. But for him, he is thinking his material desire has got fulfilled. So therefore, he fell down because he has the free will to choose between Maya and Krishna. That is the free will of the Jiva. That I have my Swabhava, my nature, and my nature is to have a free will. My free will is I can either wish for Krishna, either wish for Maya. And Krishna says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam. So you desire something material, I will fulfill that. Sitting inside you, I will fulfill that. So Krishna reciprocates to him by saying, okay, there you go, I fulfill it. And therefore, because he had that material desire, the kama envelops the jnana of the jiva. Because he had that material desire, it envelops the jnana, hrita jnana. His jnana is veiled by a blanket of kama or maya. And then he falls down into the cycle of birth and death again.
I was also trying to understand that point in the sense that he got the knowledge.
Yeah.
Because he acknowledged the energies of the Lord. He also acknowledged the Supreme Personality of God.
Yes.
So we can understand that he also understands himself as a part of an
element of
the Lord.
Absolutely.
So then, what would be the cause of why his karma overwhelmed him? So perhaps can we understand that it's just theoretical knowledge and no realization, no vijnana? So, because he also underwent severe austerities. And I should very well also point out that the same theme is repeated again and again when monks are going to do austerities, the same temptation is there. Trying to test their strength. So, do you think it's again the same point emphasized that when we try to do individually our endeavor without a support system like Sarasangha, because in this case for him going out by himself of austerities, exposing himself.
Yes, yes.
So then, as a lack of his strength was not enough for Vijnana, there is cause lack of association.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very interesting and very nice point you mentioned, Mataji. And thank you for doing that. You're very right, and we see the case of Bharata as well, Bharata Maharaj as well, who falls down to the deer. So therefore, you're right that it could be perhaps because of that, because he has not realized the true purpose of that jnana. That jnana is to please the Supreme Lord. And he, in fact, he started off with a material desire. His desire itself was material anyways. He did not start off to please the Lord anyways. So this is what happens time and again in examples of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. There's another lesson for us to say, mere penance will not help. But that penance has to be done to please the Supreme Lord. Yajnyartha karmanonyata. If a penance is anything, any activity that is not done to please the Supreme Lord, that is also kama. That is done. That's why we see bhakti can be performed in three modes. Where there is selfish desire, it is done under the mode of passion. It is still not purified yet. So there is a mix of passion and ignorance. That's why we see there are religious practices who try to kill if someone does not believe in what I believe. So I'm worshipping God and I get so much into mode of passion and ignorance. I say, how dare you don't believe in my God? So kill him because he's not believing in my God. They're actually worshipping God, and even while worshipping, they start developing hatred. So therefore, devotion can also, if it is not done properly in the proper appropriate mode, can drag us down to mode of passion, and therefore that can be made bereft of our original knowledge. Therefore, this is also because of that. Although he was in a setting which was serene and mode of goodness, his mind had the material desire by which he entered into mode of passion. So it was also the three modes that was forcing him to not realize his original jnana. Because his desire was wrong. Second thing, yes, he didn't have the framework, he didn't have the satam prasangat, he didn't have the spiritual master to guide him, or he didn't have the devotees association. And the third thing was, he started off with his desire for material requirement. So you're right, Mataji. You're very correct. He didn't, and he had not, if he had realized it, so probably we can say, he's still a practitioner, he's not a realized soul anyways, so he's still practicing. But the goal of any practice should be that I need to please Hari. If that is the goal, then all practices can actually help me. First thing. Second thing, he went to a devata. He did not go to Hari. If they would have gone to Hari, which we will see in the ensuing chapters, that Nabhi wished to have a son also. But he went to the Supreme Lord. But what happened to him? See, there are two stories, the same thing. He went to the Supreme Lord. The Lord also grants benedictions. But when he grants benedictions, he grants it by purifying us. So that's the beauty when you approach this. That's why this sakama sarva kamova, moksha kama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yoga. So if I have desires or if I don't have desire, let me go to Hari, because he is shuddham apapavidham. He will purify my desire and then grant it. So that's the beauty of it. That's my understanding. And that's what happened to Haridas Thakur. He was a realized soul. When things happen to realized soul, what will happen? The person who tries to disturb him also gets purified, because he's like fire. He will burn anyone who comes close. So the prostitute also got liberated because of Haridas Thakur. So that is the difference between Vijnana. But as a practitioner, he was still practicing, but his goal and desire was different. At least if he was not realized soul, let's say he was not realized, okay, you don't have Vijnana. You're trying to apply your Jnana. But that application has to be done Haripada Vinamradhiya Satata. So if that was not there, that is what the missing link was. That it was for my sense gratification.
Another point that also, is how they read the Vedic scriptures is quite encompassing, because Praviti Marga, Nibriti Marga, for everybody. Gradual progress or direct progress.
Yes.
Everybody has the choice.
Absolutely. Option. Yeah. And thank you again for saying that, because Bhagavatam also says, although it mentions the flow of brahmacharis, it says the best one is to remain brahmachari from the Savitram, become Brahma and go to Brihat. You don't have to go through Prajapati Brahmacharya. You don't have to go to Grihasthashram. You can stay brahmachari all through your life. But if someone has desires, then you are allowed a little bit leeway. or if you have some duties to perform because there were instructions for Priyavrata Maharaj, then okay, he accepts it as an instruction and executes as an instruction to fulfill the orders of the spiritual master. Otherwise, they won't engage with any sense gratification. They are very careful. And we also see the example of Kardamuni and Devahuti. Right? They also got married. They also got a child. But that was entirely different. But it's a very heightened state of consciousness. A very heightened state of consciousness. At least for me, at least. And, but I see, apart from scriptures, I see practical examples even within our own movement. So it then gives me a state of conviction that these are just not theoretical. There are people who are practicing it even in today's day and age. Yes, Mahathir.
Prabhu, you said that the theme is the same, that the ego is trying to disrupt the situation.
Yeah.
Throughout the standing post, etc. The reason why they were disrupting Vishwamitra, for example, was because he was wanting to take away their position. So that was fair in one sense. But why were they trying to disrupt throughout?
Okay. Demigods actually are great bhakti yogis in one sense. So devatas are for many purposes. So if you see the third chapter, the jiva, the prakriti and the devatas, if you see study the second canto, actually being we are studying second canto of Bhakshiman Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami is talking about three things, or Lord Brahma speaks about these three things, that the Lord created the devatas, the prakriti and the jivas, and they all have to work cooperatively together to achieve one goal, that is to please the Lord Hari. So therefore the devatas always work to please Hari. In that sense, they were kind of examining Dhruva Maharaj, is he ready for it? So it's a test for Dhruva Maharaj. It's not that they were angry or they wanted to usurp the position of Dhruva or anything like that, or envious, no. They were trying to test them. It comes upon like as if they were envious. But they are always in tune with the Supreme Lord's direction, because they are always executing the Lord's directions. So we can't denigrate the devatas that they are very envious personalities, they troubled Dhruva Maharaj. No, it is because they are testing Dhruva Maharaj so that he becomes ready to see the Supreme Lord. It is said, without the blessings of the devatas, we can't witness the Supreme Lord, because the devatas are his vamshaj, or his family. So it is because of their blessings only Dhruva Maharaj could witness the Lord. If you know what I mean. So they test the devotees as well, and sometimes the devotees have to go through that test. And this happens to even if you read the Harishchandra story, he was always taking the truth, but he went to so many difficulties, and it was all induced by devatas, and all because the devatas. And we always see Kunti Devi, right? The more trouble she was going through, she was forced to go through a lot of difficulties. And the reason Krishna does this is, it is said in the Shastras, that the more a devotee goes through difficulties, the more the beauty of his devotion shines. And this is what the Lord wants to show. Look, these are my devotees. Despite the difficulties, they are blossoming like such wonderful, and they emit more fragrance. And when a rose is on the plant, the sight is so beautiful. You smell it is so beautiful. Even while it is drying away and dying, even then it emits fragrance. That is the quality of a devotee. Even when the devotee is in the most horrifying situations, they emit that fragrance. That is what Krishna wants to show. These are my devotees. Why? Because I am Govinda Vishram. I am in their hearts. I am not lost to them, and they are not lost to me. This is a lesson that Krishna tries to teach us through the devotees. And that's why Dhruva Maharaj, you know, does not get angry to say, you devatas, you did this to me, I'll punish you, etc., etc., and things like that. Although he does fight with the yakshas and things like that. But he doesn't punish them for when he's doing his tapasya.
Thank you. Very nice. Next question, last question. Dhruva Maharaj was bewildered by this apsarana, so I used to think that he was so absorbed in his sense that he couldn't distinguish whether he was born.
Yes.
Or was he bewildered and then he couldn't distinguish?
Both are true. Because he's coming back from his penance, because he heard. So that's how the senses work, right? What are the two senses we can't control? If you are in a penance, what are the two senses we can't control? And? Nose. You can't stop a fragrance from entering your nose. You can't stop a sound that's entering your ears. Eyes you can close. Mouth you can close. You can't close your nose and ears. These have to be open. So therefore, the technique that the devatas use is the bangles will shake. Chal, chal. The lady will come shake the bangles and the anklets will shake. And then, you know, it is incorrect. Oh, okay, the sound has come in. The desire was there. So the desire is coming up. The sound is also coming up. Matra sparshas is happening. Perception. Oh, there must be someone beautiful. Ah, that noise. Open the eyes. Then, the moment this or this happens, immediately the sense that wants to open up and enjoy is the eyes. The eyes will see. Ah, then he sees the eyebrows. He is examining the sense object. After these three senses have done, the next sense that works is twacha, that is touch. I want to touch. So this is how the senses work. This is how the kama enters through these two senses. These two senses, kama enters. And then this, it enters through this sense, then this sense, and this sense. So this is how the kama attacks us through all these five senses, because this is how the knowledge acquiring. Karmendriyas work like that, sorry, the jnanendriyas. So the, if instead of jnana, I am taking nishans through these senses. Right? So, if a devotee reads this, if you see the verse that that is there, if you really see, Kātvam chakirshasi kim munivarya shaile. Now, shaile, what is shaile coming from the word? Shaile is shila. If some devotee would read shila, he would go into ecstasy. Govardhan shila. Alright, shila. Okay, you are meditating. Govardhan shila. Govardhan is there. So, devotees can go into ecstasy reading any verse because he is always meditating on Krishna. But for him, he had a desire to enjoy with someone, to have child. For what reason? Not to have a devotee child or something like that. He had some desire. And that desire got fulfilled. That's all. And therefore, he had to go to Pitruloka and continue his, you know, lifespan. So from that perspective, yes, the devatas do it. But we have to understand how kama enters. And then once it enters the senses, the next victim is the mind. If it goes to the mind, it is still okay. But if it goes and sits in the intelligence, buddhi nasha pranashyati. Krodha bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibhramaha. Smriti vibhramshat buddhi nasha. If the kama gets into buddhi, he becomes a terrorist. Means he will either destroy himself or he will destroy others. Because his intelligence says whatever you are doing is right, everything else is wrong. So do it. Just do it. So therefore, that's what Krishna very scientifically explains between 36 verse of 3rd chapter, to understand how this, the workings of karma, how it enters and influences the jiva. This is my understanding. Therefore, as devotees, for this we do kirtan, for this we smell the flowers, therefore we purify the senses. That's why you see, it's very scientific. We purify the senses, the nose, by smelling the flowers and the fragrance of the incense and the frankincense. This through kirtan, the touch, how do we do? Touch through the wind of the devotees, we hug the devotees, we do chamar for the Lord, we see the beautiful deity form of the Lord, and the walk through singing glories of the Lord at receiving prasadam. And it's two-pronged. You're purifying your senses, you're purifying your mind, therefore kama cannot enter us.
One thing that I wanted to always say, because you did a nice presentation, the different stage of his consciousness in the beginning, when he confused for the Chaitanya as a sage, like some projection of his consciousness.
Yes.
That's also in our interaction among the devotees, when we see something, the immediate appreciation, perception is based on what we have in mind.
Correct.
So, and then gradually, the next layer, because his desire of enjoyment that
comes manifest out, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever desires is there in my mind starts manifesting in my activities as well.
Yeah,
yes.
That was quite nice. I told this in thank you for that, the different layers of his consciousness.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, so panchendriyas, they always do their job.
Yes.
You know, actually our consciousness is the one that decides how we react and what we do.
Yeah.
The things that are going into us through the panchendriyas.
Yeah.
So therefore consciousness is the really one decides whether the lust reaction or the pure reaction or how we
Absolutely. Thank you very much for mentioning that. We are doing in our Bhakti Shastri chapter 6 now. Krishna says, let the senses do their activities, you don't get involved in those activities. You as the jiva don't get involved with those activities. You are the dehi inside the body, but enact as if you are doing it as if you are an actor. You know, like in a movie scenes, we are acting. But we will not be worried if the hero or heroine is dying, because you know it's an acting. So we have to be in that consciousness that yes, the senses are engaging, but I have nothing to do with it. I am a Satchidananda Amsha of the Lord, and my only job is to please the Lord. So you're right, the senses are to me meant to be engaged with the sense objects. But that doesn't also mean that I leave the senses on its own to engage with anything. I hold it through the means of my mind and intelligence, and through my desire that the jiva wills, that it has to always be deviated to. Like the horses, right? The horses also have to be controlled, and the controller should be the jiva. Thank you for mentioning that, Prabhuji.
So who is to blame ultimately?
The jiva is to blame ultimately. No one else to blame.
Meaning the mind or the senses?
We can blame, but it is our mind and our intelligence. Who is the owner of those things? The owner is the jiva. So the jiva has to be blamed for that. Because we willed, we desire that. Actually, naham karta hari karta. It's the Lord who is doing everything, but he's doing because I am wishing all of that. I'm willing, and I'm willing to do that. Agnidra willed to do that. Therefore, the Lord fulfilled it. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Mataji. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanand.